How's everybody doing today? I don't ask for volunteers, in case you were wondering. We just pick them. It's much easier that way. Well, Happy New Year. Everybody enjoying the new year so far? So far, so good? Yeah? That's good. Well, this morning, we just want to talk to you a little bit from God's Word, but let's just pray before we do that. It's great to have the kids in here. Kids, love to have you paying attention as well today, as this is God's Word we're going to be talking about. It's for you and for me and for Mom and Dad and everyone here. So let's all prepare our hearts as we prepare to receive from the Lord this morning. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can gather here freely in this place today to talk about your Word and receive from you what you have for us, and hopefully today to see into your heart a little more clearly as to what you desire for us, Lord. And so speak to us today, Heavenly Father, we ask, through your precious Word, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, just to give you a little background, we've been doing a series on, and I'll be continuing in the book of Luke. So it's been a long series. I know you're probably ready to get out of Luke by now, but we're going to jump into Luke today anyway, just to keep that trend going. So Luke chapter 14. No, I haven't been in the back too long. We actually are leaving John for this morning. Going to Luke chapter 14. I got permission from Todd, actually encouragement, to go this direction this morning to share this message, which is probably one we need to talk about regularly in our body. And so that's why today we're just, I could have preached from John. It just would have taken me a longer to get here. So we're saving you the pain and agony of chapter after chapter I could have tied it all together. I was tying it as I was doing my preparations. I had it all connected from John where we left off, how it progressed to where this text, but thought it might be better just to get right to where I feel God's heart is for us today. So it's in the spirit of the Gospel of John, I'm sure. So the background on this text is Luke chapter 14. We see Jesus is going to a Pharisee's house, and it starts out with him healing somebody and a discussion about, you know, Jesus raises, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Being in a Pharisee's house, he was directing some of the issues they were dealing with. Then he gets into their pride. So at some point, somebody starts feeling a little warm under the collar, a little hot. And we find down in verse 15, they sort of try to change the subject a little bit, maybe take some of the heat off a little bit with all the things Jesus was presenting to them. And in verse 15, we see is where we're going to pick up the story. And I'll just read the text here for us this morning. It says, Luke 14, starting at verse 15. When one of those at the table with him had heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the kingdom of God." I'm sure he felt that was a safe thing to say, trying to change the subject a little bit. And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought a yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out.'" I don't know how you try out a yoke of oxen, but it sounds like fun. "Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." So the servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." So this is Jesus using a parable, and we know that Jesus used parables quite often. They were stories that he used to give us a picture of the things in heaven, in the spiritual world, through human eyes. How can we understand the things of God, the things that he would want to express to us? He would tell a story that would represent what things are like in the spiritual world or in heaven. And so here we see a story beginning, and there's always going to be a spiritual connection with the physical story that Jesus is telling. And so we're going to look at it again, just looking back over what is the heart of Jesus here trying to express to us. And one of the things I loved about Pastor Bill's sermon a couple weeks ago is he shared a real neat truth that Jesus came to us and he didn't contain all of God's power in that physical human body. If all of God's power was put into that body, it would probably blow his body up. I don't think that was quite how Pastor Bill described it, but that was the picture I got. So it was probably could not contain God's power. It's mind-boggling. The God that created the heavens and the earth, you probably can't put that in a can, a human body. But what he could do in Jesus was present a perfect picture, and Colossians tells us this, of God's heart. And Pastor Bill talked about that and how Jesus came to give us insight into God's heart. And that is something that had never been revealed to nearly that degree until Jesus came. And Colossians tells us that he is the exact representation of God. And so we see the heart of God in this story. Jesus is telling us a story about a man who had a great feast. Now, just coming off of Christmas, feasting is something we can picture right now. Probably some of us have a bit of a groan like, please, no more feasting. But before Christmas, if we rewind it a little bit, the thought of the turkey coming and the stuffing and the green stuff that kind of gets put on the table too that you have to eat because your wife says so, and the desserts and all those yummy things that get put there, you start to anticipate. You get a little bit excited about it. You start watering at the lips. Maybe you're not a turkey person. Maybe you're a ham person. Maybe there's turkey and ham there. Whatever it is, you start anticipating. And we have a bit of a banquet set up here. I'm sure your feasts look better than this. This is what comes out of the kids' props rooms. I apologize. We got some buns here and croissants, and that one's missing a hot dog, it looks like, but it's there. And we have a beautiful feast. And it says the man was preparing the feast. Who was participating in making the feast this over the holidays? Did anybody participate in that? Put your hand up if you were involved physically, not just in devouring it, but actually preparing the feast. Not quite as many men's hands up there, I noticed. But so we have a feast here that we've prepared. And I've got the lovely turkey here. Well, actually, it's a pink flamingo, but it'll work here. So we've got a beautiful feast here taking shape that I worked, well, I didn't work very hard at this one, but when we put on a feast, you work hard and you prepare it and you get everything just right and you taste it and you start preparing this beautiful feast. And in the story, we see that a man is doing this. He prepares a great feast, a great banquet. He puts time and effort, and for those of you who have done that, you know how much time it takes prepare and get ready for a feast. And the spiritual connotation here is that obviously this man is representing God, and that God is preparing this beautiful banquet for us to enjoy, a beautiful feast. And we, as believers, get to enjoy that feast. And your mind might jump ahead to this is talking about heaven, and one day we're going to be in heaven. It's going to be incredible. And the Bible talks about heaven. It says no eye can conceive, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. So it's going to blow our minds. It's going to be incredible. And you might be jumping ahead thinking of this feast in heaven, and you just picture it, and everything's there that you love, and things you can't imagine her there. But the truth is that we get to start partaking in this feast as soon as we become believers. As soon as we accept Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin, now we are reconnected with God in relationship, and the feast is there. It's there for us to begin to enjoy. And we begin to sit down at the feast and start to eat the different things that are there that God has prepared for us. You get a big, beautiful flamingo leg. And you can taste it and you can start to eat. It's like, wow, it's so good. And a flamingo neck. There's nothing like the flamingo neck. It's so tasty. And you start to eat the flamingo neck and you start to grow in God and you get to enjoy the feast that He's prepared for us. Relationship with Him. What other things are in the feast that God has prepared for us? He gave His people something very precious. Brett's going to love this one. He gave His commandments, His values to His people. Those outside, they didn't know God's values, but the people of God, He gave this gift of His values, His guidelines for life. If you live like this, your life is going to be amazing. And so as the people start to live that out, parents, love your kids and raise them up this way. And when you get old, they will take care of you. You will have a wonderful life with them. They will grow up and they will serve the Lord. And together you will live in family. If your family looks like this, it's going to be beautiful. But if it doesn't, it's going to be awful. But if you do it this way, here's my gift to you. It's part of the feast. He's given us His word that we now have complete with God's complete revelation to us, including the Son, Jesus. These are all things that are part of the feast, things that we can feast on. And it's so good when we get to enjoy it. The things that God has in store for us. Walking in relationship, knowing that He's there every step of the way. The list, we could stop right here and just go on about the feast that God has prepared for His people. It's beautiful, and we are meant to enjoy it. We're meant to dig in and eat this beautiful feast that God has for us. So far, I see a lot of hungry people out there. We'll try to stop talking about food too much. So we see this man, he's preparing this great banquet. And it's something that we enjoy now. It's God's heart for us, this feast. And so the time came to ring the dinner bell. And so the man sends out his servant to those who had been invited. And we know that this parable is directed at the Pharisees. They're there. And Jesus is addressing issues with them. And there's no question that a big part of this parable is directed at the Pharisees. But there's a huge part of God's heart in here that we want to look at. And so as the servant rings the dinner bell, he runs out to those who have been invited. He says, come, come, enjoy this feast that we have. It's ready. It's time. I've been watching the Master. He's been making it. Whoo! You don't want to miss out. It's going to be good. And so he's inviting everyone, come, come to the feast. It's time. And can you believe it that no one comes? Nobody comes to the dinner. And it says here that the master got a little upset about that. Now for those of you who toiled and made your beautiful feast, now imagine if you had done that and nobody came. How would you feel? You wouldn't feel too good about that. Probably a little disappointed. There's different ways that you can handle that. Some of you perhaps would have got just very upset. Take your turkey. Nobody wants to see my turkey? Fine. Open the window, out the window. We don't need no turkey. How about the stuffing? Don't need no stuffing? Get rid of the stuffing. Or perhaps you may have just sat depressed at the table and not left until you ate every last bit of that turkey yourself. It's hard to say just how you might have responded. Anywhere in between there probably. But you probably wouldn't have been super happy about that. And then I would wonder, how did the servant respond? So he's gone out, he's invited everybody, he comes back, tells the master, sorry, nobody will come. But I know what he's thinking. I'm hungry. I'm ready. And he sits down. You know he's ready to go. Well, nobody else came. Well, I guess that just means more for me. More tomorrow. We'll be eating turkey all week. Maybe all month. Or pink flamingo, depending on your choice. So you can see the servant is probably ready to go. Now I'm reading this into the story. We're not sure how the servant was thinking, whether he was a selfish servant or a good servant at this point, but if he was a human, he was probably thinking, I would love to sit down and start to eat the turkey. I've been watching my master prepare it all week and it's time to eat. But let's look at how the man responds. He says to the servant in verse 21, it says, a servant came back and reported this to his master, and the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant. He said, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. So the servant is told to go out, so we'll do that today. The servant went out into the community. Now, he was probably thinking turkey, but he must have been a pretty good servant because he obeyed his servant. Come here, animal boys. I just volunteered you for something. And he said to bring the blind. So we need some blind here. All right, who else is in the danger zone here? All right, come here, bud. Well, I see a couple of big boys here. Come here, boys. Hinton boys. I saw your hand. I know it was there. Oh, that one's not going to work. We're going to change. You come over here. I need a big boy. Here we go. John. Come on, Joey, my man. Let's see. We got some blind guys here. Can you see anything, John?
Not at all.
Not at all. Are you telling the truth? Now we need some lame here. Just a minute. All right, come over here, bud. You come forward, Joey. All right, we're going to injure you. All right, legs together, beautiful. All right. All right, you got a little injured. You had a soccer, you like soccer, right? A little soccer injury here. All right, kind of put you in tough shape. All right. Beautiful. And you got run over by a bus, okay? Yeah. All right, we have the injured. You can have that. All right, and then, so the servant invited them. Come on, guys, come on to the banquet. Come on, guys. Now, as you can see, there's a little bit more involved in inviting these folks to the banquet. They probably need a little bit of guidance. There's a sidewalk here. Watch out for the bus. Oh, there you go. So there's a little bit involved in bringing folks like this to a banquet. If he just leaves them to their own, you don't just send out an invitation. So the servant had his hand, his work cut out for him. He had another blind guy here. You can sit, oh, you can't sit down. You need me to sit you down. Okay, just a minute here. Here you go, just a minute. Just a minute. I'll be right there, just a minute. Hold a second. Okay, here we go. Okay. Right there. Just a minute, I'm coming. Turkey's getting cold. Oh, brother. Okay. Let's see here. Turkey. Just put you right there. Comfy, okay? Oh, it's gonna taste good. Let's see. Blind guy over here. Up the stairs there. Watch your step. There you go, sir. Okay, can you hobble, come this way? Oh, that's it. Still over here a little bit. Oh, turkey's cooking. Oh, okay. comfy. Second. Here. Okay. Okay, this is not working. Okay. So you can imagine what's involved for the servant. You know, Jesus just jumps in the story. But let's be realistic here. Okay, the servant's a little tired. Okay, turkey time. Who's ready for some pink flamingo? Oh, it's so good. And you can imagine, you know, the servant bringing all these people to the banquet. It's a little tiring. There's a lot involved in this part. Just hang in there, guys. Don't eat the flamingo yet. Okay. So with all that's involved in this story and bringing these folks, I think we just need to pause here for a minute. Because there's a lot involved in bringing the broken and the hurting and the lame to a banquet. There's a lot involved for the servant. And I think it's really important that we just make the spiritual connection here at this point. That when the servant came back and reported that no one came, God's desire was to go out again. Go back out and find those who will come. Find those who will come. Find those who will come and enjoy the feast. And it's easy for the servant to, first of all, just get complacent with the feast himself. And to get distracted by the beautiful feast, and he's enjoying it. And he just wants more and more of this feast. And it was just so easy to just stay at the table and eat. Thanks, Brett. Hey, you weren't invited. So it could have been very easy for the servant to just sit at the table and eat. And for us as believers, we are already enjoying the feast. We're already there and enjoying it. But there's a big part of God's heart that we have to understand. As long as we are still breathing and on this earth, there's a huge part of God's heart that we have to recognize. Yes, He wants us to sit at the table. Yes, He's created this feast for us. But there's this huge part of God's heart that wants us to invite others. It doesn't mean we have to stop enjoying it, but there's this invitation out that He has for each of us as His servants to invite others to this feast, this beautiful feast. And it takes a lot of work to bring these kinds of folks to the feast. And for us, when we're bringing broken and hurting people to the feast, it's time consuming, it's involved. It gets messy. But God's heart desires that we invite those who will come. After the servant had returned and brought these people, at this point we can start to tell what kind of servant he is. Because in verse 22, when he returns, it says that the servant said, "What you ordered has been done." And then you can see the wheels turning. He's looking at the table, he's looking at the banquet, and he sees empty chairs. And this is how we find out what kind of servant he is. Inside of him, I'm sure he's thinking, it's time to eat. But he sees the empty chairs. And he knows his master's heart. He knows what his master is going to say. He's either lived with him long enough, or whether it was just through this experience that he's learned it. But he says, instead of saying, "Everyone's here, I did everything you said. Let's sit down and eat, Lord," or "Master." But he doesn't. He says, He says, there's still room. There's still a few more seats. So I'm guessing you probably want me to go back out there. So he knows what's coming. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. There's something about God's heart for lost people, and it's huge. We are blessed with a wonderful body that's growing and healthy. And it's very easy for us to just get complacent and say, oh, this is great. Isn't it great to be at the feast? We're just feasting together, making relationships that are beautiful and wonderful. And we're enjoying this feast together. All the good things that God has in store for us, we are enjoying as a people. Now, some of us here today might not be enjoying these things. You might be sitting at the table and you're just nibbling. You're just nibbling on things. A little croissant. And there's this huge, beautiful feast and you're hardly even noticing it's there. So some of us may not really be enjoying the feast. And so I would encourage you today to enjoy the feast that God has for you. It's accessible now. But the most important thing I want to convey today is this sense that there are more people that God wants at this feast. And in a body that's growing, one thing I think we need to address is this fear of it getting too big. And we can judge, oh, big churches are like this. And I can assure you on a couple of things. Number one, as a staff, and I know Pastor Todd's heart, there is zero desire to just grow something big for the sake of growing something big. We feel the weight of something growing. I can promise you, every little bit of growth we feel. And it feels heavy. And we constantly have to figure out how do we handle this to keep the health and the strength in the body. And the elders feel it. And anyone in leadership, as your Sunday school class grows, I mean, everybody feels it. And we have no plan to just grow for the sake of growing. That's like a suicide mission. I can barely handle what we're doing, but let's add a few more and a few more. No, that's suicide. So there's no church growth plan. We have no strategic plan to be a certain number by a certain size. We want to see health in our body. And health should naturally produce growth. And then you just have to properly manage and handle the growth. So if you're feeling anything negative about growth today, there's a part of God's heart that you haven't allowed into your life fully. There's a big part that's missing. Yes, it can feel a little bit heavy, and yes, it can feel different things and burdensome, but and I'm sure the servant felt it in this story. But you've got to make room for that part of God's heart. The reason you're still alive, and He hasn't taken you home to heaven, is for two reasons. For you to grow to be more like Him, and to invite others to the feast. That's it. It's not to make money. It's not to get a good job. It's not to get a good education. Those are the two purposes God has for you. Are those other things bad? No, but if those two purposes aren't the priority in your life, you're missing what God's point in having you on this earth is completely. So let's enjoy that feast, but let's make room for that part of God's heart that is so big in our lives. And it's for others that aren't at the feast yet. Thank you, guys. You can disable yourself. That's not quite right. You can take your glasses off. And maybe you guys can help our duct tape friends there get back to their chairs. Thank you, guys. there's a part of God's heart that is just so big in this area. And this parable, Luke is written chronologically, which means it's in the order of events that things happen. And we find that shortly after this parable, Jesus tells three more parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. So originally this is obviously a lot directed at the Pharisees who had been invited to the banquet but were missing the boat completely. But it also began something in Jesus' message to the people about God's huge heart for lost, for things that are lost, for people that are lost. And at the end of these parables that Jesus told, at the end of the lost sheep, this is what Jesus says. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And at the end of the lost coin, he repeats that. And then at the end of the lost son, he adds this character into the story, the other brother, who really kind of comes out of the blue. And this other brother doesn't get what all the excitement's about the lost son returning home. He doesn't get it. He's not excited. He's been at the feast. He's been a good son. He's been with his dad all along. And he misses the boat on this other son returning home. And why everybody is so excited, especially his dad. But this is a part of the heart of God that we have to come to terms with. And as long as we are here, we need to be inviting others to the feast that God has in store for all of us. It's a huge part of his heart. So this morning I just want to talk about two things that I think we need to take from this story, from this section of Scripture in which God's heart is revealed in this area. The first thing is that in our personal lives, we need to make space for lost people. There's priorities. Our family is important and takes priority over other things. The body of Christ is important. But this section of what we would consider lost people are those who aren't at the feast yet. We have to make room in our hearts for that. And so it starts by embracing this heart of God, by seeing things through His eyes. Because if you don't start there, it doesn't matter what you're gonna get tired of working with broken people really fast. If you don't have something of God's heart in you for lost people, then human effort does not last. It's too hard, it's too messy, it's too complicated. There's people you invite and they reject the invitation. It's disheartening. But if you let a piece of God's heart affect you, if you take a piece of that, let it become a part of you, then you are motivated by that. You are motivated for the people who aren't yet at the feast. So embracing God's heart is by far the most important part of that. Second part of making it personal would be to make sure you're giving time to people that aren't at the feast. Building relationship. You've got to have time. Think about how much time do you spend with people that don't know the Lord. You've got to have time for them. Now, in this story, we see that invitations go out and invitations get rejected. And kids, this is for you as well. Because one of the most important parts of your life is your school years. You will never be around kids, other people, more than you will be in your school years. right through university. You are with people all the time. And you have a huge opportunity to invite people to the feast that you're enjoying. To invite people into relationship with God. And no, not everybody's going to come. Some people are too busy or not interested. And we in our society, the people have heard the message. But a lot of people don't know what they're missing. Some people outrightly reject it. But there's a whole lot of people who will receive it. Who are your neighbors, your family members. They're in your workplace, they're in your school. And we have to find time for these folks because it's the only way that you can build a relationship and have opportunity to share with them about what God's done in your life. And so on a personal level, we need to be looking around us. Who are those that are in my life that the Lord is speaking to me about, that the Lord has given me favor with? I think one of the most important things to keep us from getting discouraged is look for those who you have favor with. You could be in a class of 10, and there's only one person in that class who you find favor with. You just seem like there's a connection there. You feel a little bit of hope there. Don't get discouraged by the 9 others. Make time for that one. Make effort to get to know them. Talk with them. Get to know their lives. Show interest. Just give time for them. You're enjoying this beautiful feast. And there are people that God has in your life that He wants you to connect with. If each one of us in this body in the next 2 years brought one person to the feast, our body would double. It's not that it has to take place instantly. It's a process. These are real people. You do it because you care about them, because you want them to enjoy the beautiful feast with you. Everybody has their own style and their own way and their own abilities in this area. Some are extremely gifted and are evangelists. It is a gift from God. And they burn. This message, they're just about just talking about it, introducing it. They're just about ready to explode. They want to leave right now, partway through the service, and go find somebody and invite them to the feast. Because God has put that in their heart. It's their gift. And it's natural. And they could preach this better than I could. And there are many of you here today in that boat. Some of you all over the world serving God for this very purpose. For me as a pastor, I have to find ways to rub shoulders with people because I feel like I'm like the waiter at the feast. Oh, you gotta try some of this. Oh, this is so good. Here, try some of that. Isn't that good? Oh yeah. What, you're hungry? Oh, try some of this flamingo wing. Whew. Whole new level of delicioso. As a pastor, I feel like I'm just at this feast and seeing people gorging themselves. And it's actually beautiful because you see the Lord ministering. It's beautiful. And that's what our role is. So I have to actually find ways to spend time with people through sports or things of interest or in my neighborhood or whatever. When I get a chance to talk to my neighbor, I never end the conversation. I just try to keep asking questions because I really care about them. I want to know them. And I can't have that kind of conversation with most people in my neighborhood, but there's one or two. I know people who have had block parties. They had a barbecue just to invite their neighborhood. You might look at your neighborhood, well, they're unfriendly and you don't know my neighborhood. Well, God isn't asking them to bring you to a feast. He's asking his servants. That's our role. We're to think, how can I connect with these people? How can I show them God's love? How can I show them what they're missing at the feast of God? So we need to have these things in our head. We need to have these things in our mind. It doesn't matter how old you are. As long as you're breathing, God's not done with you yet. It's not time to come and just put back the recliner and just recline at the feast quite yet. It feels like we're kind of dabbling in the feast and running off inviting somebody. You're going back, got to dabble a little more. It's not quite time to recline. There's a time and a day coming. The Bible talks about it, a beautiful day when our minds will be blown and we'll be with our Heavenly Father forever. But until that time, there's a huge part of God's heart. He has given a time for people to turn to Him. Some of them, it will be on their deathbeds. But He has given that time. And today, God wants you to think about who are those are around you that He wants you just to love. And that's the best way to invite Him to the feast. Just love Him the way God told us to love Him. Another way, a really neat way to get involved in inviting people to the feast is through ministry in the church. It's a beautiful picture of how the body comes together, of how when you come together and work together, how you can accomplish so much more than you can alone. And for those of you who aren't natural evangelists by nature, which I would say would be most of us, it's a little bit, it doesn't come natural. It's not in our minds. So we have to think about how are the ways that I can be involved in reaching people. So personally, I need to be involved. But maybe there's a way in the body that I can be involved. A way that eliminates my weaknesses when I join together with other believers and create that picture that God talks about where the body works together and ministers together and works together. And there are ways to do that. Our prison ministry is a wonderful example of just going to broken, hurting people and ministering to them. What an incredible ministry. Just out there inviting these people, the people who are obviously missing the boat. But I'll tell you what, people in jail respond. It's brokenness is the pathway to God. And we all who have come to Him have known that our pride has had to have been broken at some point in order for us to come to the Lord. And so it's these kinds of people who are broken, and they really do respond. Not all of them, of course. And then there's things like Divorce Care, another ministry of our church, a beautiful ministry in our body that reaches out to hurting people. And through that, being a pastor, you get to see the effects of the ministry they do. And you see people coming out the other end. And they're now people who are just eating out of the garbage, brought into a place, sitting at the table of God, feasting. It's beautiful. Soup Kitchen is another one that just goes out to the broken people. And there may be things that God is going to put in your heart for certain kinds of people. Maybe you've experienced addictions and you have a heart for addictions. You just want to start a group to help people who are addicted. You're going to think of a way that God puts in your heart that's uniquely you, that's going to reach out to people. Maybe you're going to join a ministry that's already happening. But maybe God's going to use you to start something. But God wants it in our heart. It's a huge part of God's heart. Another ministry that's that's been just newly started is a busing ministry that's going out and picking up families. And I mean, it's about as direct a comparison to this text as you can get, just going out in the bus and inviting those who would come and picking them up, and several who aren't saved, I would say, even yet, but are coming to the feast, and they're just kind of observing, and they like it, and they smell it, and it smells good, and they maybe haven't fully accepted the invitation to the feast. But it's amazing that people will come. I have a bit of a soft spot for this ministry in my heart. Worked in Kelowna for 14 or 15 years in a ministry where we bust in kids and families from the community. So this one has a bit of a soft spot in my heart. But the incredible things that I would see, you take a bunch of weak and shy and timid and incapable people, and you work together, and man, did it create something beautiful. I can introduce you to young people today who are in Bible school because somebody went to their house, picked them up, and just loved them. I could take you and introduce you to them right now because somebody there got a picture of God's heart, understood this beautiful feast that they were enjoying, and decided they would be a part of that. It's just beautiful. And I got to be a part of that. And is it hard work? Sure. Is it expensive? Yeah, it's expensive to run a bus. Do lost people come to the feast? They do. And I love it. And there will be a part of my heart that always loves that kind of ministry. Anything that gets in connection with lost people and cares for them and brings them to the feast is absolutely beautiful. I'm just going to tell you one little story about a little guy named Mark. He was a little guy in our that we'd pick up on the bus, and he was not an easy child to work with. Probably had I'm not sure if he had any official attachment disorders, but I'm sure he had a few of them, whatever they would have been. But little Mark was not an easy little guy. But he never had a home. He bounced from foster home to foster home. And they found it very difficult to work with him. But the funny thing about little Mark is, because he kept moving from foster home to foster home, he would keep ending up on a different bus. And so every leader seemed to get attached to this little guy somehow. I mean, you spent a lot of time with him when you brought him. He required a lot of time. And it was amazing to see how every leader just got so attached to little Mark. Because he ended up on every one of their buses at some point, it seemed like. And you know, as years go by, at one point, Mark just completely disappeared. When they went to pick him up, they said the foster family, whatever the circumstance was, he had been moved and they didn't know where. And the leader's efforts, usually we can find out where, but this time they couldn't find out and he just disappeared. And so you kind of continue on, but you're not sure what happened to little Mark. And then one day the church gets a call. from a foster dad. The dad says, "We drove by your church the other day, and our little foster boy went nuts." He's like, "That's my church! That's my church! You gotta get me back to my church!" So little Mark's life has been absolute chaos his whole life. But there's one thing that he knew. And that was that he was welcome at that feast. And he wanted back into the action. And seeing little Mark grow up and becoming a junior leader, that had its challenges, but what a beautiful, beautiful story. So today, maybe God wants you to get involved in a ministry like the busing we have here or one of the other ministries I mentioned. You can talk to the leaders of those ministries and they'll welcome you with open arms. Because it's remarkably small how many people are willing to be involved in that kind of ministry because it takes your time. And hopefully personally today you'll allow God, I have no doubt that in each of your lives there are people that God wants you to invite to this feast. And so just to close off today, it's a new year ahead of us, and it's always good just to always take some time to look at the things that are really part of God's heart and make sure they're a part of our body and our personal walks with Him. So today, let's all just spend a few minutes. Let's bow our heads and just close our eyes. And I want you to just give some time. And I don't know if there's worship team still here, maybe you could come and play for a few minutes. And you know, sometimes it's just hard to see those around us that there is favor with. Maybe we've been just focusing on those where there's not a lot of favor. So we just want to take a few minutes where you're just thinking about, allow God to speak to you. Just ask Him, who is it in my life that you have placed? And maybe it's going to be a complete revelation, somebody you never even thought until now. So the Holy Spirit reveals it to your heart that, man, there's somebody right there. They've been there all along. And I haven't spent near the time and care for those people. And I've been so busy gorging myself at the feast, and I didn't even notice. So as the worship, you guys just want to play a song, and as they play, it doesn't even have to be any singing for right now. Just play and just let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Maybe He's going to plant the seed of a ministry in your heart. Maybe He's going to call you to join one of the ministries already in place. Maybe He's going to reveal to you somebody who is just broken. Maybe He's going to renew something in you. Someone who you've been caring for a long time but have given up. You've been inviting but lost the allow the Lord to speak to you. Just ask Him. He will answer. He will speak to you. Just focus in, kids, you as well. Who's it in school? Who's in your school? Who is in your neighborhood? On your hockey teams? I'm just going to give a few minutes. You've come today, everyone's coming from a different place. There's probably folks here today who you haven't enjoyed the feast yourself. And today you're just catching a whiff of what God might have in store for you. What He wants for you to enjoy. The good things that He would have for you. And you've never tasted of the banquet that He has for you. While accepting the invitation to God's banquet is recognizing that you need a Savior, that you're a sinner, and that that is preventing you from having a relationship with God. And that is what's preventing you from being able to participate in the feast. And because of that sin, we needed a Savior. So God took it upon Himself. He sent His own Son to this world to die in our place so that we wouldn't have to pay the price for our sin, because the Bible says the penalty for sin is death. An eternal separation from God. But the Bible says that God is not willing that anyone should perish. He doesn't want anyone to experience that. He has a feast prepared. And He is desiring, His Word tells us that He desires that everyone would come to Him. Every single person. Some of the kids here today, you haven't made this decision to come to the banquet. And today maybe will be the first time you choose for yourself. Your parents have been invited, maybe they're going to the banquet. But you have to accept the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. You have to accept Him for yourself. So that you can come to this feast that God has for you. So for some of the kids here today, this may be your step. You're accepting of that invitation. And you do that just by praying to the Lord and saying, Father, I accept the gift of Your Son. I believe He paid the price for my sin. And so now I accept this gift. And I allow You to now be Lord of my life. Lord of my life. And I want Your heart to be in me. This heart that's for lost people, and this heart that's going to grow in relationship with You. I want that, Lord. And I accept that. And that's all it takes. You accept that gift and you allow Him to be Lord of your life. If you have more questions about that, there are so many people here that would love to talk to you about it. So find somebody you know or a pastor, please. And they would be happy to talk to you more about life sitting at the table of God. And there's folks here today who have been just nibbling at the table. You haven't even enjoyed the feast. It's there and maybe you didn't even recognize how fully it was there before you. Maybe you were waiting for heaven. But it's all at your fingertips. God wants you to enjoy the feast that He has prepared for you. So Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your precious Word that speaks real truth to us. It tells us the way things are in the real world. Thank You for sending Jesus not only to die for us, but to show us Your heart. To help us understand Your heart, God. To help us understand the things we don't understand in this world. Why are things the way they are? You sent Your Son. So thank You, Father. What a beautiful feast You have given to us. And we get to enjoy it in this new year. We get to enjoy it afresh and anew. And one day we'll be sitting back in our recliner chairs, fully reclined at the table of God. The kingdom of heaven will come completely and fully. And You will reign and we will be Your people. And there will be no more crying and no more tears. And what a day that will be. Until that day comes, Lord, may we be faithful servants who You are calling to go out
to go back out and invite another one, and that one more. Because we know your heart is not content, Lord, until the time that you decide has come. You are not content that any should perish. So Lord, help us to be bold enough and courageous enough as that servant in the story, and to be willing to go out and to send your invitation out, Lord, while there is still time. Help us to hold on to this peace of your heart, God. Continue to open our eyes so we might see just how big this is to you and how important every relationship is that we have. So, Lord, for those faithful servants out here right now who are out in the highways and the byways, Lord, refresh them, renew them. Bring others along who will support them and run the race with them. Bless the hands of their work, Lord. These ministries that we've mentioned today, bless them, Lord. Give them favor in our community. Those who lead, Lord, who are tired and weary, Lord, lift up their hands. Re-envision them with your heart for those people. Remind them of why they're doing it. Just let them see your heart a little bit more again, Father. And stir their hearts deeper and wider than they've ever gone before. We thank you for this body and these beautiful believers who we get to share the feast with. What a joy, Lord. What a joy to sit at your table. Enjoy so many good things every Sunday and every midweek event and every time we gather, whether it's two or three or with one another, we get to enjoy the feast. So we thank you for these things, Lord. They're precious to us. And we don't go out and invite others at the expense of the feast for ourselves, but we go out being able to enjoy both. So Heavenly Father, we just commit these things to you. In your precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.